Photogrammetry and the use of aerial photographs are valuable tools in locating and designing roads. The photogrammetry section of the RTA was established in the early 1960s. Peter Sandwith, a retired principal photogrammetrist, talks about the section.
Bruce Smith was the one who started it all up. He really did a great job. Mm. And he had a hard time of it with people who had been in surveying a long time but were finding this a bit hard to cope with. Mm. These new fangled ideas and machinery and so on. Yeah, it was a time of a lot of development and construction, particularly in the 70s. Oh, it was great. We couldn't keep up with a lot of it.
Rob Shipton, Design Support Manager with the RTA, provides an overview of aerial photography and photogrammetry.
One of the biggest boons that we've ever had is aerial photographs. With the aerial photographs, they would charter a plane. A DC-3 was ideal because they were very stable and very slow. And they'd set up an aerial camera in the fuselage and they would take off shots every so often, every 10 seconds or whatever it might be. The higher you were, the greater the time distance between the photographs that they took. But the secret was that they would take the photographs with an overlap. For each photograph that they took, the next one had about 60 or 70% of the coverage of the first one. But the way why they did the overlap was to get a three-dimensional view when you used a stereoscope. Stereoscope was an instrument that you could set up on the desk, had two eyepieces, reflecting mirrors on the side. You put the two photographs underneath, peer through the two little lenses, and you'd move your photographs in such a way that the two images would become one. And then that would suddenly give you a stereoscopic effect where the hills came up and the valleys went down and you could nearly see the water running in the rivers. Now you get scale distortion because of the lens of the camera, and because the plane can't keep flying exactly at the same level, there are winds and eddies and all sorts of things. It moves around and the shot for the camera might be at a slight angle this time and slightly back this way on the next time. There are all sorts of variables in there that won't give you a true plan image, and that can't be helped. But there is a way that they can do a rectification, what they call a rectification, and we use this today, and that is you can get those aerial photographs and knowing certain points on the ground, which say might be from trig stations, and you can locate those on your aerial photographs, and you'll find that the distance between point A and point B trig station is just a bit too short, and that's caused by these variables in taking the pictures. So you rectify the photograph. Now the early way of rectifying them was to get the photographs to a fairly large scale and you would cut them into strips 1/8 of an inch wide. And then it was someone's tedious task to re-glue them back onto a base and stretch them where necessary, or shrink them down where necessary. And then you take a picture of that, and that was your rectified photograph. Today they've got machinery to overcome that tedium, of course.
A precision instrument is required to translate photographic information into a contour plan. Chris Woodham, Manager of Photogrammetry and Geoinformation Services, gives us an outline of the developments in this instrumentation.
We purchased a component that was attached to the stereo plotter called a coordinometer, and it registered those coordinates and punched the results out on punch cards. So you had a key punch machine, what's called a key punch machine, next to the photogrammetric instrument, and when you press a recording button, it's a foot switch under the instrument, the coordinates X, Y and Z of where you were looking in the instrument is then recorded in millimetres, on the punch cards. We put all those punch cards together and load them into the IBM 1130, and the software is running that would read those cards and give us out the ground coordinates for those points that we'd picked on the photography. We then purchased another stereo plotter, this time from Switzerland, a Wild A10. The Wild stereo plotter arrived in 72. That's the only instrument that we have still today. We've kept that mechanical instrument because of it's so stable, so well made. It's still very easily calibrated to its original specification.
John Gillies explains the importance of ground control surveying in this process.
To be able to map accurately from the photographs, they have to have points on the ground that they can identify in the photograph that have a known position and height, easting, northing and height. That's called ground control. My job in rural investigation was to provide ground control for this photography. So where these ground control points were, that was determined by the geometry of the photography. They had to be in a certain place, you know, on the photograph, and there had to be a certain number of them. Generally, the control was picked after the photography was taken. And in that case, they would use what we call detail points, something existing on the ground that was suitable for their use. Typically, it would be something like a fence corner, or a gate post, or a power pole, or some other feature. So that's detail points, and that's where the control's picked after the photography. In some jobs, because of specific requirements, they had to have targets that were an exact size and that they can point to very accurately in the machines. So in that case, they did what's called pre-targeting. So we went around and we actually painted up targets on the ground in positions that the photogrammetrists selected. We've also done jobs where the terrain was considered featureless. So we did one fairly famous job at near Broken Hill at a location called Dolo Creek, where it's all sort of saltbush and not much else. And so we actually went out there prior to the photography and laid, in this case, they were cloth targets, quite large, sort of 6 foot square, in positions that the photogrammetrists wanted them. As I said, the points were determined just by the geometry of the photograph. So it could be that this point's down in a gully or it's up over a ridge, and you had to actually traverse, you know, with the odd light and band in to these points. And so it's very slow, it's very time consuming.